Well, good morning and welcome to Bridgewater. I'm glad that you're here today. I want to welcome those who are watching online. I want to give a special shout out to our Cape May crew that's watching. So we have multiple families that are away together from our Montrose campus, and so they're hanging out suffering for Jesus today down at the beach. So greetings, enjoy your week of vacation down there. We're in the third week of our What Happy Couples Know. And we're excited about this series and the way that God's using this series to help people think through their relationships. It's not just about marriage. It's about all of our relationships. And so if you have missed any of the sermons, I want to encourage you to go back online. And you can either watch them or you can download the podcast from any of our five campuses. And some of you get tired of listening to me, and I get that. And so we have other pastors that do an awesome job with a series like this. And so I encourage you to download the podcast and just listen it throughout the week. And so we're excited about that. So we've talked about in the first 2 weeks expectations and submission. And when it comes to expectations, oftentimes when we walk into a relationship with a laundry list of expectations, it becomes this debt-debtor relationship. And what I mean by a debt-debtor relationship is that we feel like they owe us, we owe them, we're keeping score, we have kind of checks in the boxes that we put down. And what happens is it's really hard for a relationship to thrive in an environment of expectations. So it's hard to have a healthy relationship in the environment of expectations. So what transpires is this. So you have your hopes, you have your dreams, you have your desires. And if your hopes, dreams, and desires are not being met, then what happens is the relationship becomes rocky. If we don't get what we want, if our expectations are not met, before you know it, we begin to fight, we begin to manipulate, we begin to coerce. And this is what happens if we don't get our way. Sometimes we just end up leaving. And so we've talked about the damaging aspect of expectations sometimes in relationships. And don't get me wrong, obviously there's some level of expectations, but the problem is the expectations that we often put on a relationship are not necessarily the relationship, the expectations that God puts on them. The relationship becomes more transactional. And what I mean by that is it's an obligation. It's a relationship contract that we have. And in the contract, typically one person is a better negotiator than the other person. And so it becomes this like win-lose environment. So the negotiator ends up winning. The other person feels like they lose. And what happens is the relationship ends up suffering. So that's what we talked about in the first week. Second week, we talked about submission. And everybody came in here and immediately, as soon as I mentioned the word submission, you know, arms were crossed in our society, right? And I don't want to hear about it because we want to be the captains of our own ship. We don't want anyone telling us what to do. We determine our destination. And here's the problem. If you live that way in every aspect of life, whether it's in church, work, in the family, at school, with the government, if we live that way all the time, there would be anarchy, right? There's a level where we do submit to other people who are in authority. Sometimes we submit to people because of their skills and their abilities. The information that they have is better than the information we have. But really, there's a place where God has a blueprint for relationships, and he has put certain people in certain positions, and he's given them a responsibility and a role to fulfill. And it's our responsibility to come in under that relationship and to submit to that authority. Some of you talk about work and how your bosses may not be the brightest person in the world. And I understand that, right? Not at Bridgewater, though. The boss is amazing at Bridgewater. He's very smart and very talented. But really, but we thank you for the three of you who laughed. I appreciate the humor. That's great. But there's a place where really, when we go to work, we got to understand there's more to it than just answering to a guy that you don't necessarily like, because it tells us to do our work heartily unto God. And we represent Jesus even in the workplace. And there's a time that we have to step back, submit to their authority and to the responsibility that God has given them. So today we're going to talk about a principle that's really important. It's a principle called humility. Some people look at humility and think it's weakness, but it's really not weakness at all. It's just saying, I don't have to be in the front of the line all the time. I'm willing sometimes to put other people first before me. I'm willing to go to the back of the line for your good. And so we're going to be talking about humility and how that helps us develop healthy relationships. When we talk about humility, we're going to talk about a guy named Peter. And Peter knew what it was like to step out of the life that he was living to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And there's a place where he humbled himself. And there's things that Peter did that were pretty successful. God used him in an extraordinary way to present the hope that Jesus brought to the world. He also used Peter to help teach people what it meant to be a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. But Peter also knew the difficulty of what it meant to follow Christ, and he faced extreme persecution. And Peter was faithful up to the very end. And under the orders of the Roman Emperor Nero, Peter lost his life. But Peter knew what it meant to humble himself. Some people even said with Peter that he was the disciple that his mouth was shaped like a foot because he always kind of put his foot in his mouth continuously. And so we look at this guy and say, he knew the thrill of victory, but he also kind of knew the agony of defeat. And so we hear the great stories about Peter, but we also hear the bad stories. It doesn't paint a very positive picture of Peter. And I'm really grateful for those pictures. You know why? Because I don't know about you, but in life, I mess up. Like, I make mistakes all the time. And it's nothing more exciting to realize that God can use me in spite of my mistakes, in spite of my history and my past. God can step up and use me in an extraordinary way. And so we're going to be talking about Peter today. And as he writes in 1 Peter, he's writing information that I think is relevant for all of us, things that we can all connect with. And some of you may feel like even like in a healthy relationship, in a contentious relationship, I think the information he's giving us today is super helpful and relevant because he knew what it was like to stand before people and share the love of Christ and have them push back with hostility against him. He knew what it was like to actually sit before some leaders, both religious and governmental leaders. And they kept telling him, you need to stop talking about Jesus. And he was interrogated. He knew what it felt like to be that. He knew the tension. Peter also knew what it was like to be incarcerated. But it's really cool that Peter understood also what it meant to see life change. And he knew what it was like to watch the church grow and to watch God do an amazing work, not only through him, but through other people. So Peter's coming in saying, as we talk about relationships, both good and bad, healthy and contentious, here are some principles that we can take away. So last week we talked about submission. This week we're going to be talking about humility and realizing that it's an important part of the equation if you want to have a healthy relationship. 1 Peter chapter 5 says this, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. Now, this is a complicated phrase, all of you, okay? It's really hard for us to get this. It's pretty deep when you go into the Greek and study it. Do you know what that means? Everybody. It's not the person sitting next to you. It's the person you look at in the mirror every day. All of you need to clothe yourself with humility towards one another. We need to be willing to go to the back of the line and put other people before us. So if we're going to clothe ourselves as Christians, he's saying what we need to put on, if we're going to brand ourselves as Christians, we need to brand ourselves with humility. I remember when I was in high school, back in the days, like the Stone Ages where they had like drawings on caves, like when I went to high school, they would have these things called varsity jackets, and you don't see them as much today as you do then. But back then, it's like everybody had a varsity jacket. And so you would wear these varsity jackets, and the varsity jackets would be of your school color. Whatever your school you went to, you'd have this jacket. The basic part of the jacket was one color. The sleeves were a different color. And if you were part of an extracurricular activity, oftentimes you would have on there a letter or letters representing the initials of your school. And so when you went to the mall, when you went to the movies, wherever you went, you would see people walking around and you knew what school system they were from. Why? Because they had branded themselves, they'd clothed themselves, they'd identified themselves as an individual who went to that high school. When we talk about God telling us to put on our jackets, he's saying when you put on your jackets and you wear your letter, it needs to be a big H. So when people look at you, what they don't want to see as a follower of Christ is someone who's completely arrogant and full of themselves. What I want to see, really, what I want you to do to represent me is I want you to put on humility. So John Deere has their logo, right? And it has what? A deer on it. Okay, for those who have been blinded by orange, I want you to know there's a deer for John Deere. Sorry, you have to be in the equipment thing to get that. So guy in Cape May understands what I'm talking about. So, but we have McDonald's, right? And they branded themselves with what? The arches. And when we come down to Nike, they have branded themselves with what? The swoosh. God's saying this. I want you to brand yourself. I want all of you to brand yourself with humility. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what kind of relationship you're in, No matter what kind of conflict or tension you may be facing, humility needs to be paramount in your life. So the first thing we need to ask is this. What would a humble person do? Now, you could say, that's an interesting question. So at the very least, if you don't know what to do, you don't know what humility looks like, and it's like you've never even tried to practice it before, one of the things you can do is say, okay, I'm in a situation. What would someone who's actually humble do about it? It may not change anything about what you do, but at least you can ask the question, what would a humble person do? Someone who's trying to identify themselves as a follower of Christ, someone who's putting on the clothes of humility, what would they do in this situation? So there are times in my life, and I know that it's going to be easy for you to understand this, I have no problem being humble, none. The first service really laughed at that one. I'm not sure why, but I don't have a problem being humble with things that I don't care about. So there's things in my life that I really don't care. So if my wife came to me and said, I'm going to go grocery shopping, I need to go, and she's going to tell me what store she's going to go to, frankly, I don't really care, right? So I'm going to play the humble thing. I'm going to do what a humble person does. That's amazing, honey. I stand behind you. I cheer you on. Good for you. I'm getting in the back of the line on this one. You just go. My wife like reads incessantly. She reads stuff on her Kindle all the time. And so she'll tell me she's reading a new book. That's awesome. Again, I'm cheering you on. Whatever you want, whatever makes you happy. When it comes to reading books on the Kindle, I'm going to the back of the line. All right? I'm just not a big deal. But my wife will tell you this. While I don't care about a lot of things, the things that I do care about, I can be very opinionated about. And I can be pretty passionate about it. And even though they don't matter, right? So here's the thing in my family that I'm passionate about. When it comes, and I'm not going to get too graphic, but when it comes to going into the shower at my house, you will always see a bar of Dial soap. Because in my family, there is no room for girly soaps. Okay, I don't want any fragrance. I don't want any of that kind of stuff. And seriously, like, if you put Ivory or Dove in our shower, I'm going to have to sit my wife down and we're going to have a conversation, right? So I'm not going to the back of the line on this one, right? I'm going right to the front saying, this is what we got. I want Dial soap. If we're down to one bar, I'm going, you need to get one of those like monster packs to make sure we don't run out. Now, for you who have some crazy ideas, don't be sending me some crazy smelly soaps in the mail, all right? All right, I'm just going to throw them out. But we come to a place and say, so as you think through these issues, what do we do? And it's a place where we need to sit back and say, okay, really, what would a humble person do? What would God ask me to do in this situation? How can I put the needs of someone else before me? You may not always think humble thoughts, but at least you're going to look humble by doing some things like that. So here it goes on in the verse. It says, why do we do it? Because God opposes the proud. So I want you to think about the magnitude of that statement. God's called us to humble ourselves, everybody to humble themselves, to clothe yourself as a Christian, as a devoted follower of Christ, humble yourself. And God even goes a step farther to say this, if you don't, I want you to know that I'm going to stand opposed to you. In sports, I've gone toe-to-toe with people. In business, I've gone toe-to-toe with people. In board games, I've gone toe-to-toe with people. But one of the people I don't really want to go toe-to-toe with is God. And you know why? Because you're always going to lose, and I'm always going to lose when we go toe-to-toe with them. I want you to understand, those people who are arrogant and say, I can do it myself, I don't need anybody else, I'll solve all my own problems, I need to be better than everybody else, I want you to know that God stands opposed to that because he says, I want you to clothe yourself in humility, not in arrogance. When you come across an arrogant person, what do you think? How do you feel about those people? The kind of person who always talks about themselves, they always tell you how they're better than other people, they always tell you how you're better than you, the world revolves around them, and there's no place in their universe for anyone but them. They're the people that when you're having a conversation, somehow it always goes back to them. They are legends in their own mind. These are people that have a tendency to be demanding, and when they look at the mirror, this is what they say, isn't God lucky that he created someone as amazing as me? So when you walk away from someone like that, Do you usually sit there and think, you know what, I can't wait. I cannot wait to get together with them again next week. I can't wait to spend more time with them. Because don't we have a tendency to resist them? Don't we have a tendency to kind of run from them, push back? Why would we be surprised when it says in Scripture that God opposes the proud, God resists the proud, God stands against the proud? I want you to understand this. If I'm going to pick a side of the line I want to be on, I want to be with God and not against Him. And if you want to be on His team, like, humility is huge. Humility doesn't even help in your relationship with Him. Humility is huge as you develop healthy relationships. It's not about you always getting your way. It's about you serving the other person and saying, you know, I'm willing to give up certain things for them. That's how you develop healthy relationships. But I want you to know this is contrary to what we hear in our world. Because what? You are the captains of your own ship. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Never give up anything. I'm not sure that's God's plan. But He goes on and says this. God, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. So there's an element here where when we take ourselves and put ourselves at the back of the line, putting other people first, coming under, being dependent on Him, there's an element where not only does He come up and support us and lift us up, there's a place where He gives us endurance. He gives us wisdom. He gives us the strength to get through the things that are going on in life. There's a place where we position ourselves in the back of the line that God says, oh, no, no, come here, because I'm going to do an extraordinary work in you. I'm going to do extraordinary work through you. And ultimately, I'm going to use you for my glory. God's not going to take this arrogant person and say, come here. I'm going to put you at the front of the line. This is what I look like in life. Do you understand that Jesus modeled humility as He emptied Himself? We looked at the verse in the first 2 weeks, Philippians chapter 2. He emptied Himself what? To the point of death, even death on the cross. He gave up everything for you. And He's looking at you saying, I want you to look like that. I don't want you to look like someone who's so full of themselves that they have no need for a Savior. He'll lift you up in due time. And it goes on and says this. So this is like, so we come to a place, when we put ourselves in the back of the line, it says this, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you. So when you find yourselves in situations that are out of your control, when you find yourself with questions that you can't answer, when you have anxieties and worries and difficulties and frustrations, you don't know what's going to happen at work. You don't know what's going to happen in your relationship. There are things that are going on in my life that are out of my control. And He says this, the kind of things that keep you up at night, He says this, I want you to take all of that and I want you to give it to Me. I want you to hand your frustrations, your concerns, and your worries, I want you to hand them over to Me. See, as an arrogant person, and there are times in my life where I'm extremely arrogant because I'm a control freak. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to fix it myself. And so I sit up at night and I think about stuff and I worry about things and I strategize and I try to come up with a blueprint and I try to fix it on my own. And night after night after night, as I lay awake trying to figure it out, there's certainly a point where I get to, and it's happened over and over again, where I finally go, well, this isn't working. And so I step back and say, God, you know what? I can't do this. And I think He's in heaven kind of laughing and going, it took you long enough to figure that out. And I look to Him and I say, God, this is Yours and not mine. I've done everything I can. I've done everything I possibly could. It's Yours. And over again, and I'm not exaggerating, when I hand it over to God, it is amazing the kind of sleep I get at night. Instead of stewing, worrying, being anxious, trying to figure it out, and just saying, God, not my problem. I'm giving it to You. He's promised us when we cast our cares on You, on Him, we can do it because He cares for us. What an amazing promise. That God said, man, the author of all creation said, you come to Me with your stuff. And I'm there for you. But what does it usually look like for us in society? when we have anxiety, frustrations, worry, concerns, we go to the person in our, that we're in a relationship with, and we just back the dump truck up, right? And we load all of the junk on them. And we bury them under the junk. And we look to them and we expect them to fix it. We oftentimes blame them for it. We often complain to them. We go through all of this nonsense. Why? Because we go to our person that we're in relationship with instead of going to God. We take our frustrations and our anxiety and we back it up and we dump it on people we're in relationship with instead of going to the one who says, "You bring it to me. You bring it to me." Why? Because I care for you in such a way that I will help you carry that burden. I will give you direction. I will give you wisdom. I will give you strength. I will give you understanding. In the midst of all of it, I will give you what you need. Why? Because he said he will never leave you or forsake you. Guys, listen to me. So often in life, in our arrogance, we stand these independent lives and we miss out on the blessing of God, and in the process we mess up our relationships because in our fixing of things, we end up dumping on the person we're in relationship with. And it makes the relationships that we're in very unhealthy. We need to transfer our concerns and our worries over to him. And sometimes even arrogant people who think I can fix everything, someday he drives us to our knees. There's no greater posture of humility than being on our knees before God and saying, "God, I can't do this." Oh, what situation? If you know if your son's going to live or die, you're going to find yourself on your knees pleading with God and saying, "God, I can't do this. I need your help." When a relationship's so out of control and the person that you've invested in for so long is turning away and walking away from the relationship, I don't care how much money you have in life, there's a place where you'd be driven to your knees pleading with God and saying, "God, give me what I need for the moment. Give me wisdom for tomorrow." Folks, I want you to know that we need to learn to take it to him before you take it to them. We need to go to God first. Do you know how much conflict we could avoid in life if we would just pray about stuff first? Do you know how much conflict we could avoid if we went to God with our problems before we went to the person we're angry with or frustrated with? Could you imagine how much disunity we would stop from happening if we would just go to God first instead of going to everybody else we know to talk about that person and what they did and how you don't like it? Do you know how much regret we could avoid in life if we just prayed to God first before we did something huge? Guys, I want you to know, in arrogance, man, we walk into a trap. In humility, we become dependent on the author of all creation and say, "What, I need you." So what happens when you find something out in life? Do you stand at the garage door, you hear the garage door go open, and you're standing at the door inside the house and you're just waiting for them to walk through the door so you can basically throw up on them for everything that happened in your life bad? Here they come. And not once did you reach out and talk to God about it. There are people at work who go through conflict and difficulty at work, and they spend their entire day complaining about the other people at work and how the boss isn't that smart and how this new policy is ridiculous, and they spend the whole day just complaining. And not once do they ever consider that maybe there'd be some benefit to going to God in prayer and saying, "God, I don't get it. Help me." Some people have received bad information. Information that scares them. And their first response to that situation is to get on the phone and start calling other people. And somehow they forget the fact that they should talk to God, the one who invited them to come and said, "Listen to me, I promise you that when you come to me in humility, you will sense my presence. You will sense my power. You will sense my peace." Do you see the difference? When I get scurrying around in my arrogance, my mind is racing off. And when I go to God in humility, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. I tap into the power source. And man, when you sense the presence of God, in those moments, you realize how foolish we've been in our arrogance. Some of you may not know what to do. You say, I've never done that before. I've never been at that place. So we're going to go back to Psalm chapter 55, and my time's close to coming up. So Psalm 55, and we see Peter, years later, taking some of the verses out of David's prayer. David was a shepherd. He was a warrior. He was a king. He was a poet. And he was going through some tough times. And one of the things that he was going through at this moment in Psalm 55 was that someone that he felt he was close to betrayed him. Have you ever had that happen in your relationships? You've been betrayed? And he was betrayed, and he's like crying out to God. Here's a guy who knows how to write songs. He knows how to write poems, but he knows what it's like to have the blood of the enemy on his uniform. And he got to a place where this is what he said to God when he was going through his difficult time. If an enemy were insulting me, I could endure it. If a foe were rising up against me, I could hide. Next. But it's you, a man like myself, my companion, my close friend, with whom I once enjoyed sweet fellowship at the house of God as we walked about among the worshipers. Let death take my enemies by surprise. Let them go down alive to the realm of the dead, for evil finds lodging among them. As for me, I call to the Lord, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. We get to a place in life, we're not just throwing something up in the passing. Hey, I'm on my way down the highway, I'm going to work. Hey, God, you know, let's do this. I'm talking about here is a king. Here is a warrior, a shepherd. Here's a poet who says this. I find myself repeatedly crying out to God in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. This has broke my heart. Someone I called a friend has become a foe. And I cried out to God. I love how it goes on. It says in verse 21, his talk is smooth as butter. Have you ever seen those smooth talkers? They get their way, they're negotiators. Yet war is in his heart. His words are more soothing than oil, yet they are drawn swords. You get it? So here's the person that you're in a relationship with. You think that you have a healthy relationship, and when you turn to them in this relationship and you pour out your heart with them, you feel like they're your friend. You feel like they're your partner. And what happens is they turn against you. They talk a really good game, but when it comes to other people, they say something totally different. Hey, do I look good in this outfit? Oh, you look wonderful. That's the most hideous thing I've ever seen in my entire life. But it's much more significant than what we look like, because oftentimes it's matters of the heart. You say, but they're so nice when they go to church. They're wonderful people. And their spouse says, you got to see them in the home. They're angry. They're mean-spirited. They're horrible people to live with. That's what David's talking about here. It sounds good on the outside, but on the inside, man, they're waging war in their heart against you. We come down to next verse. Cast your cares. And this is where Peter gets it. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Verse 23. But you, God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of decay. The bloodthirsty and the deceitful will not live out half their days. Some of you may have said, I've never been able to cry out to God like that. I'm not sure I can ever go to God and have a prayer like that, where I'm talking about other people, about my concerns, my hurts, my worries, my frustrations. I'm not sure I can have those prayers where I'm good with God is good, God is great, let us thank him for the food, amen. I'm good at that level in my Christianity. But when it comes to saying, God, I don't get it. I don't understand. This is not fair. I need to depend on you, because if I do it my way, I'm going to make matters worse. God, I need you. Have you ever prayed those kind of prayers? You say, well, how does Peter understand? How does Peter understand the relevancy of this concept of humility? I want you to walk through this in your mind. Peter is the guy, remember he's in the boat? Whew, the storm going. God, I can do this. Jumps out of the boat, starts walking on water, and what? He loses faith. He takes his eyes off Christ and he begins to sink. You don't think he knew what it was like to turn back to God and say, help? Here's a guy who said, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I will never stand opposed to you. Hey, do you know Jesus? No, denied him 3 times. But he turned around and was able to go back. Peter's a guy who stood before crowds, before officials, and he did know the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. And in all of it, he says this, I've learned this, that as I'm walking through life, I've learned that I can do this. I can cast all of my anxieties on him, everything, because he cares for me. I think some of you probably in this room today or listening online, there are times you get weary. Would you admit that you get weary because you try to fix everything? You try to resolve everything on your own. And in some ways, you may not say it verbally, but in your life, you're just saying, man, like, I can do this. I don't need anybody to help me because the people I've reached out to before have failed me over and over again. They have led to disappointment when I've reached out to them. I want you to know the author of all things says this. Here's my promise. Here's my promise to you. You bring me your concerns. You bring me your frustration. You look to me and say, God, I need you. Every hour I need you. I have to be dependent on you. And I promise you this. And this is not an experience. I can back it up with scripture, but from personal experience. You will understand for the first time the peace of God, the presence of God, and the power of God. What would a humble person do? They'd go to God first before they went to anybody else. You want to have healthy relationships? Man, don't look at your person you're in a relationship with and just throw up on them with all your problems. Come to them with the peace of God, the presence of God, and the power of God and say, hey, God's doing a work in my life. And if you can pray with me, that's awesome, but I need him. That's how you develop healthy relationships. God, thank you so much. You're a big God. You do some amazing things. And I know in this life, it seems like what we're talking about today in Scripture is so contrary to what we hear. We're told to really fix our own problems. Don't let anybody tell us what to do. Man, don't ever help someone get up in life and find success. Make sure that you step on other people to get there. But God, I pray that we would look to this and we want to represent you well. We want to be devoted followers of yours. And one of the ways we do that is by clothing ourselves with this characteristic. It's hard, but God, help us to learn to be dependent on you. We ask in your son's name. Amen.